Okay, good.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's Thomas Singh.
Oh, Thomas Singh. Sorry about that.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2587. That's 2587. I'm Carol Levine. I am Vice President of NASCA. And tonight is a Q&A type of night, and where people can call in. They can talk about anything they want to speak about. We do have a survivor professional with us. Her name is Hilda Thomasine Wren, and she's from Frederick, Maryland. And I do remember that she had been a guest on not too long ago, and now she's going to be appearing, once a month on Tuesday. So I'm happy to have her aboard. Hi there, Thomasine.
Hi, Carol.
How are you doing?
How are you this evening? I'm just
fine. I was just telling the rest of them I had to find my mailbox before because there's so much snow. And I had to hire people to, I have a big property, around here. And to snow me, it was just terrible. It was terrible. I'm still cold. Let's put it that way. It's coming your way. Or are you, do you have snow now?
Oh, yes. We have about a good, I'd say we have a good 7 to 8 inches.
No, we have 27 inches so far.
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna get worse. But anyway, we are here. Yes, we are. And everyone, the telephone number here is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And if you want to be a part of this show, it's so easy. All you gotta do is call in, and you can be on the panel. We're going to have a discussion because tonight is like a discussion night. On Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we do have guests that come on. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have our survivor professionals. And they speak about certain topics and so forth, and we have a nice conversation. And the more people that call in, the better it is. All right. So anyway, we're having a terrible blast of snow, and I always say that I'm a snow bunny. Well, let me tell you something. After today, I have other words for it, and it's not nice. I'm not happy anymore. So as Pamela knows, I say blast, and she knows what I mean by that. But anyway, we have Pamela, and she's a big wig here at NASCA. She is the executive producer of the show. She's also an ambassador. She's an author, and, of course, above all, she's a survivor, just like the rest of us. And then we have Peter, and Peter is from Australia, actually, and I'm glad he's here. I absolutely am. And so then, of course, we have Thomasine and, whoever else is going to call in. So anyway, again, the number is 646-595-2118. If you have something that's really heavy on your heart or in your mind right now that you'd like to speak to any of us about, we've been through it all. I hate to say that. It is the truth, okay? And we've been through physical, mental, sexual, emotional, and neglect, all of us, and that's basically, what NASCA is about. And we do have the mission statement, which I always read because I'm supposed to. Anyway, it says here, We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two different perspectives. Okay. Number one is educating the public. And that's something I'm very heavy on, is educating the public, and I'll do it any way that I have to, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic. It's a worldwide problem. This isn't anything new, and it's all over the world. Okay, it's just not in the United States. Number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, if we would do a little bit more prevention in our homes, and there's so much trouble going on in the homes right now, I do know over in PA, it's like over right there, and I was informed today, which came up on my phone anyway, that because of the snow, violence is going crazy. I suppose it's people who have to maybe park out on the street. I'm not familiar with Plain, Pennsylvania, P-L-A-I-N. But there was a shootout, and people got killed, and it's crazy, okay? We have a pandemic we're trying to deal with. I call it more like a plague. And then we have this horrible, horrific snowstorm, and people cannot go out and do what they want to do, where they want to do, and what they were used to doing, and that goes for the children, too. And there's just so much trouble in this world right now. But I can honestly say that on the block that I live on here, up in the mountains, today everybody worked together. And that's a new first where everybody was working together, all trying to clean their own properties, of course, but also lending a hand. And that's very, very important during times like this, because it's nice to be able to report something that's good. Because for so long, we've been reporting things that are bad. And I met a neighbor that I didn't even know that I had today, and she was out, and she was shoveling and helping and all kinds of stuff. And I'm not supposed to be out doing that type of thing anyway, because of I have a few health issues. So they all came together, and yes, they did. And I even had kids down the street that were willing to help. A lot of times they do listen to the show. There are some that listen to this show right from my own neighborhood, and I'm finding this out. So they know my big mouth. Yes, they do. They know they know what I'm on. So before we go any further, though, I want to ask if there's anyone who has something they'd like to speak about. Like, Thomasine, is there something that you'd like to speak about tonight?
Yes, I have thought about this. This is very close to my heart, is inappropriate touch for children. I don't believe our parents are talking to their children and letting them know what is inappropriate and what is appropriate. And I just wanted to say surveys show that as many as 1 in 4 children have suffered some sort of sexual abuse by the time they reach 18. Statistics show that sexual abuse crosses boundaries of race, class, culture, ethnicity, gender, and sexuality, affecting all types of communities. What can you do as a parent to help protect your child? That's my question tonight to everyone. Learning how to talk to your child, even as early as 2 years old, age appropriate, but we need to start as early as 2.
I agree with that, and I'll tell you why. When kids are, you know, in the bathtub and the mother or the father is giving them a bath, remember there's a lot of people that listen that have never listened before, too, and so this is very, very new to them. Maybe it's very good advice for them, okay? Your child will be in the bathtub, and I'll say, Mommy, what's this? What's that? And the mother needs to not be embarrassed anymore. Make this a part of parenting. I had written something the other night, actually, online about this. Make it a part of parenting. Because children have to know their body parts. And a lot of times, unfortunately, parents are embarrassed. They show embarrassment when a child will maybe, say, touch their breasts and say, "Mommy, what's this?" Or their vagina, or the little boy, it would be, of course, you know, his penis. And call it what it is, for God's sake. And the reason why I say it like that is, well, everyone knows my story. Many people know my story. But when I was in Staten Island, I had been kidnapped and raped, and I was in the police department and everything. They would come in through school, you know, like 2-3 times a week to have me go down and look at mug shots. Believe me, it was not fun in front of my peers. I didn't like that at all. And that's when my panic attacks started, by the way, at the age of, by that time I'd turned 9. And the problem with this is, you know, they would ask me, what did he do to you exactly? And all I could do was point. Here, he touched me here, he touched me there, he did this, he did that. If we do not educate our children, okay, if we don't do it, then our children are going to learn about the body parts the wrong way. A lot of times out on the playground, you know, and from other children, and a lot of times they'll get mixed signals too, you know, and they won't get the proper information. And our children need to learn about healthy sexuality, okay? They need to learn what's healthy, right? So it's very important. Does anybody else have something to say? I hear noise. Go ahead. Peter, did you want to say something?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to talk while you were Michelle was just saying that because she's been listening in too, and she was still like saying that when she was 5 years, she was in grade 5 when she started learning about the sexual parts of the human being. And, mm-hmm. you know, it makes you wonder, it sort of like makes you wonder, is it too soon for a child to, too early of a grade to learn that kind of stuff? I mean, when I first heard, learned about it, it would have been grade, I think it was grade 8 or grade 9 when I first started learning about it. And I was never taught by my own parents, so I wouldn't have had any idea, except all I did was just exploiting myself, wondering who I was and who I am, and kids do need to be educated, yes. Now, I guess the question needs to be put down on the table. Is it too soon that kids at such a young age are learning it too early at school? Or, you know, their parents are learning and teaching them too early at their at whatever age we're talking about? So there's got to be a certain age group that a child should start learning and understanding the wrongs, the rights and the wrongs when it comes to the sexual body parts, if that makes any sense to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it makes a lot of sense. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Children today are around adults on a daily basis much more than ever before. So, yes, we have to start at an early age, and it's age, you use the language that's age appropriate. So for a child that's 2, we would talk about use the words good touch, bad touch. And when you say good touch, it can be explained in such a way that people show that they care, and they may hold your hand or they may hug you. So you show you sit with a child and you show how the good touches are shown to them. As far as bad touch, you can explain to a child as a kind of way of saying that hitting or kicking or touching private parts is wrong. And so you make them comfortable enough, show them that you love them so that they can feel protected, so that they will always be able to come to you or an adult and let them know how they felt when someone touched them. You've got to have the lines of communication open at all times. And this conversation is not a one-time conversation. This conversation goes on from age 2 all the way up until even beyond teenagers. It's an ongoing conversation, not just a one-time.
I agree with that. When it's more in the teenagers, as I've been taught, we speak, do our presentations and so forth, you teach about date rape and all kinds of things. It can, many times in classrooms, we will, you know, teach that. So it is something that that you do speak about from this, you know, the earliest age. And you know what? Your child will let you know what age, you know, to start at, because a child notices that they have certain parts of their body and they wonder what the heck it is, you know. So it's good to teach them. I find that a lot of people don't like to be too explicit with their children, so they will say the bathing suit area. You know, they seem to be comfortable with that. I don't care how they present it, just so long as it's presented. And this builds a very special bond between the child and the parent, because it shows that, you know, mommy and daddy, you know, a lot of times they do role playing. I always tell them to do role playing first, mother and father, if they're going to speak to their children together. And to get over the embarrassment, because for God's sake, it's a way of life, and also, too, the dangers out there. And you're not going to be embarrassed then if we don't teach our children. We'll be feeling sorry. So, you know, teaching about boundaries. And that's what you were referring to, because the good touch and the bad touch. No one has the right to touch the child's body in their private parts, except for mommy and daddy when they're cleaning them, or a doctor if they have to go there for whatever reason and they're giving them a physical or something. But outside of that, their body, as we've all heard so many times, belongs to them, because it does. Their body belongs to them. So, Peter, when you say, is there an appropriate age, when children, I believe, and I think we can all agree on this, when they start asking questions, you know, at such a young age, it is age appropriate. And we have wonderful articles on our website, by the way. I was told today by someone that had called me. And they told them to, it's a call coming through, I'm going to ignore it. I told them to, you know, to really open up the website, because we have a ton of information. And it teaches you how to, you know, speak to your children. If you go to our NASCA website, that's NASCA.org, NASCA.org, and scroll down just a little bit, you'll see red lines going across. And if you open up each one of the lines, it has all different types of things that you can go into, that you can open up and learn from: prevention, intervention, so forth and so on. I deal with a lot of that and with people. Because there are articles here that help the parents learn what to say, what not to say, and about prevention, intervention, and recovery, which is something that we do teach also on our show. I like to think of us teaching people on Tuesdays and Thursdays because they need to be taught. And if they can get comfortable with themselves, okay, if they can do that, then they can be comfortable with their children, and children are more apt to say, hey, so-and-so touched me, you know, in my breasts, you know, touched my breasts, or I touched my vagina, or I touched my penis, and so forth, and it made me feel uncomfortable, and I don't like it. I don't like it. And that way a child will be more apt to, you know, respond to the parent, and that's a good thing. What do you have to say about that, Thomas? Go ahead.
I was going to suggest that, or talk about how parents could sit down with the child either on a sofa or on the floor. Usually with little children, you like to get down at their level, their eye level,
right,
and hold their hand and talk to them. Make sure it's a quiet place where they're not distracted. And also, if by chance a child does not want to hug a particular adult, you know how children sometimes will, you say, go hug grandma or go hug grandfather. And they say, no, I don't want to. You should never make them do that. You just ask them quietly away from that person, honey, why is it that you don't want to hug your grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're made comfortable and they've been told the good touch and the bad touch, they're going to tell you why they don't want to. Want
That's
to be
right.
touched or want to be held by that particular person.
That's right. I've seen children before I found out so much about, you know, good touch, bad touch, about education, okay? Yes, I'd gone through my life, but I was not, you know, as schooled as I am now and all the things that we speak about. A lot of times you'll see a kid, like, hide behind, like, say mommy's standing there, and someone comes walking in the house, and that person is, you know, maybe they are a pedophile or whatever. And the child goes behind mommy's skirt, as they put it. See them hiding from, you know, the person coming in. It's not only just bashfulness. A lot of times there's a reason for it, you know. And that's sort of like a red flag. Pamela, you haven't spoken. Let's go to you.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back on if my parents would have been good parents and known parenting skills, you know, I wouldn't have had to survive 14 years of sexual abuse, but, you know, my mother neglected us, and she married a pedophile, knowing she married a pedophile, so, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, in those situations, you know, children aren't going to get taught when they come from dysfunctional families that are dysfunctional. And
that is so true.
Yeah, but it seems like my grandmother could have taught me, you know. But, you know, I found out later that probably everybody in the family knew and didn't care. But, you know, it just depends on the family. And we do need more awareness somehow, some way for parents to, because if a child grows up from, you know, learning the body parts and learning, well, you know, of course, two to four will not understand the abstract thinking of privacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can say to them, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you know,
mm-hmm.
give them a code, give them a code word, or give them a place or something to say that they can get away from the person that's making them feel uncomfortable. One of the things I was reading says tell the child to say, I've got to go to the potty, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just get out of being around that person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these young children, when you got a big adult towering over you, you know, and telling you lies, and you know, it's really hard. Even if parents do teach you, it's really hard.
It is very hard. I have read about people using code words before, absolutely. And Yeah, and also, too, to have another person, you know, outside of the family, say like a friend of the mother's, if something happens and they're near that person, to be able to trust that person so that they can tell them, you know, something happened to me by using a code word. I've heard of that before. Thomasin, have you heard of that before, using code words?
Yes.
And so forth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I wanted to bring out first of all is teaching the safe body rule. And
mm-hmm.
rather than expect your children to judge a touch only by how it makes them feel, give
mm-hmm.
them a solid rule that they can follow. Using the safe body rule, teach them it is not okay for anyone to touch their private parts or what is covered by their swimsuits. It is easier for a child to follow a rule, and they will more immediately recognize a bad touch if they have that guideline. So they can come to you and say, "Mommy, I was touched." There is a,
right.
you know, you've given them a rule, just like you give them a rule in, hey, time for you to clean, don't do this or don't do that. They'll know this rule first. And then you can give them a word or a code word, so that they can tell you what's going on without the other person knowing, the predator
exactly.
knowing, at least.
Exactly. And that's exactly why, right, because I've read that. I've seen that before, using code words. Because, you know, the last thing a pedophile or slash sex offender, say they're not after children who are pubescent, but they want to touch them, early teenage years, you know, that's not prepubescent. So, but to teach your child code words is a safety net. That's a good thing to do. And if they have one other person that they can trust, say they're not home, maybe they're not near mother or father, but they feel like they're in danger or whatever. So to have another person, you know, like I said, that they know that they can say, hey, listen, you know, this is what just happened, by saying apple. Do you have any apples? It could be something as simple as that.
Right.
And that person, mm-hmm. yeah, that person will know that something happened to the kid. And, you know, it's important. And, you know, I have something here I want to read. I know it by heart. But it's something that when someone was on our show, that actually I was on her show first, had written, and it was on our website for many years. But I'm going to take this few minutes to read this because it'll give people something to think about. People who don't want to, think about sexual abuse. Many times, Thomasine, I'm sure that you've heard this many times. I'm sure everyone has. I want my children to stay, you know, as a child for as long as they can. You know, I want them to not understand these things. I don't want their mind to get cluttered with child abuse or the bad people out there, or to scare them. I don't think we should scare our children either, okay? But on the other hand, we do have to educate them, because what happens if we don't educate our child? Then they are much higher at risk. But this is called a 15-minute challenge, and I know that my friend wouldn't care if I read this. It says here, I ask everyone who cares about the issues of child abuse and the protection of children to take the 15-minute challenge. Whether you set a timer for 15 minutes or just watch the clock, I ask you take 15 minutes to think about how much we can do in 15 minutes or how little, but what each 15 minutes looks like to a child who is being beaten, burned, sexually abused, raped, or sodomized. 15 minutes is not a long time to most people. You're waiting for the coffee to perk, going out to pick up the newspaper, waiting in traffic during rush hour, waiting in a grocery store line, brushing your teeth, and catching some of the late night news before bedtime. These are the things that take around 15 minutes. But 15 minutes to a child who is being abused in any way can have tragic and fatal consequences. 15 minutes of a child being sexually abused, raped, sodomized will change their lives forever. While the perpetrators of the abuse, the child's sexual predators and pedophiles, the family members and other members of society get their 15 minutes of gratification, the child is impacted with physical problems, emotional problems, and psychological problems for life. 15 minutes to a child who is being abused in any way is a life sentence. 15 minutes is how long it took for my abuser to bind and gag me, rape and sodomize me, sexually abuse me. That's how long it took for her. Okay. And while this person got their 15 minutes of sexual gratification, I got a life sentence of pain in every way. All it took was 15 minutes to turn an 8-year-old girl into a sex toy for my abuser. Children cannot wait 15 minutes for someone to protect them, for someone to care, for someone to be, or something to be done. Please take 15 minutes every now and then and put yourself in an abused child's body and mind. And remember why so many of us are fighting so hard to save them. Thanks for all you do to help stop child abuse and save children's life. Okay? So that was written by a person who had been on our show for quite some time, and I was on her show first before I came here. So I've been on the radio from quite a few years. And, you know, because I've been here almost 11 years, and I was on her show for about 2 years, and then she decided to become a minister. Okay? She was looking into that. So, but anyway, the point is this. What did I just read? You know, people out there, it is far much more dangerous to a child to have no knowledge than for a child to have knowledge. And pedophiles, they can tell when a kid, you know, is smart. They'll walk the other way and go find another prey, S-P-R-E-Y, okay? It's unfortunate, but that's what they do. But that one child was saved. So to have the code words that we were just talking about and speaking about is a very good thing. Another thing that we can teach our children, too, is if someone is approaching them, and this was a case that actually happened, and once in a great while I say it online, because on the phone, wherever, and presentations, because it happened not that long ago. I'm going to say about maybe about 3 years ago. There was a bunch of kids out in the yard. They're all playing. It was summertime, and it was in a little community of some sort. And so they're crossing each other's lawns, and they're playing ball and all this other stuff. Everything was fine and dandy. Well, there was this white van that was going around and around and around, and it was spotted. People thought it was rather weird, but didn't say anything. Well, they picked their prey. And it happened to be a little girl and with blonde hair and blue eyes, a little girl. And I think she was about eight, maybe seven years old, I think she was. But her parents had spoken to her, okay, and had warned her not just about stranger danger, because we know that that's only 10%. Most of the abuse does happen, unfortunately, in the house or in the schools, people we trust, things like that. But stranger danger was instilled also, and what to do about it. See, a lot of times we have to teach our children what to do. So these two guys, they got out of this white van, and they approached one of the yards, and they're ready to scoop up this kid, to scoop her up and take her away. But she was too smart for them. She saw that they were approaching, and she was watching them out of the corner of her eye because she remembered what Mommy and Daddy had said. She'd never seen them before. And they got closer and closer to her, and all of a sudden she started to scream. And as she started to scream, the one kind of lunged towards her, and she kicked them right in the shin. She could have kicked them somewhere else, but she kicked them in the shin. Well, they took off. And because he'd been going around and around with the driver, you know, quite a few times, they were wondering who that person was. By the time they got out of that complex or whatever it was that they were living in, they were caught. There was a police car evidently in the area. They were stopped. They had backup. And those two men were charged with trying to, you know, kidnap a child. So you see, the point is this. If we don't teach our children about stranger danger, yes, that's always the easy one to do, but about all of the things that we speak about on NASCAR, then we're going to have children who are much more at risk of being picked up, kidnapped, raped, whatever, murdered. I was taken for a little over 3 hours, and in that 3 hours' time, they say anything over 3 hours, the chances of being found alive is very small. And, of course, if a day or two goes by, we go into Walmart, we see all these kids up on the wall. They've been missing for 6 months, a year, 2 years, some more. Well, where are they? So, you see, this is an important subject to speak about because we do not teach our children well enough. And if the abuse is coming from inside of the house, like it was in my house, too. And it was in Pamela's house. It was in Peter's house. For God's sake, now I'm starting to think here. You know, it happens so often that we are, you know, we're being abused right in our own homes. And that is a problem. That's a major problem. But if a child is not being abused at home and they have caring parents, then they can certainly help keep their children safer. Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, I was going to say that I was abused in my home, but I was also abused outside of my home. And one of the things that I did read today that is so important to tell children, explain to your child the right to say no. Inappropriate touching, especially by a trusted adult, can be very confusing to a child. They are taught to trust adults and can feel conflicted, scared, and confused when this trust is breached. Because 89% of sexual abuse cases, the abuser is someone the child knows. So you need to tell the child it is okay to say no. My abuser I was babysitting for someone in their home. My parents went to a party with a couple who had children, and I was 16, and I was supposed to stay over that night with the children. And sure enough, the man came back home under the disguise of coming to see if everybody was okay. And decided, well, this is time to have sex with Thomasine.
Oh, jeez.
And if it had not been for the youngest child waking up crying, he would have finished what he was doing. You see. So it can be, and this is a very good friend of my parents.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So you wonder, as a child, you wonder, well, what did I do wrong for him to do that? Why did he do that? You know, so you don't tell because you feel like you have done something wrong. But if your parents had told you in the beginning that it's all right to say no and had that loving relationship with you and knowing that you're going to tell the truth, trust between a parent and a child, I would have probably told. But I was afraid to tell because I knew that they probably wouldn't believe me.
That's a very bad place to be put in. See, that's what happens so often, though. And sometimes the abuser tells them anyway, you know, your mommy and daddy, they know me. They know me well. They would never believe you. And then the kid, you know, you're right. The kid, you know, figures, well, he's right. They wouldn't believe me, you know. Peter, do you have something to say about that?
You know, I'm relating to most of the conversations that I've been listening to, and I was never taught, you know, if I was seen doing something to myself, I'd be punished by my parents. As you know, so like with my cousin, well, my cousin is on my mother's side, so which was her sister's one of her sister's children, and so what is you just don't know, you know, when a parent drops their kids off to be babysitted, you know, well, the parents are not going to worry about their children because parents are going to go off and have a good time and not knowing, you know, how are my children, you know, and should I call my babysitter, my sister, to see how my children are doing. And oh no, that never did happen. That my parents, every time they would drop us off, drop myself and my sister at my cousin's place, not once would they ever call in to see, just to check in to see if we are okay. I didn't know what was right or wrong. For me, as a child, I'm thinking, is this fun? Is this the right thing? Am I doing the right thing, what I'm doing? Is this something that I'm learning about something? I don't know. Even in our own home, when he was living with us, my father had no choice of asking him because he wanted someone to look after myself and my sister because my mother and father had divorced. So me and my sister were never taught that. My sister may have, but me, no. If I was always teased, I was bullied, if I was ever touching myself. I was always very shy, like when I was in junior soccer, being around with my soccer mates. I was that shy boy of being in that corner, like getting change and, you know, turning my back to all my players because I didn't want people to see the front of me. It was, to me, as a child, I was too scared. I was scared to show the front part of my body in front of people because, you know, was it exploited? I just thought that somehow I was tampered with. I was exploited by someone that was way older. And I don't know who mentioned it, but I think it was you, Carol, when you said about, you know, when a child looks up to that adult, you know, you've seen that abuser standing so high above you. To me, that's how it felt with me. I'm looking up at this person. He was supposed to be my cousin, a cousin that I could trust or have fun doing stuff like play soccer, play rugby league with him. But there was always that catch-22 with him. But if you don't mind me, if I share this, you know, it's something that I saw in a scripture in the Bible saying, you know, about caring for children is spoken by highly in the Bible. You know, James 1:27 says that the caring for children in need pleases God. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Children, that's how I felt from that scripture. It's disheartening, you know, that children today should be learning it? Yeah. But what do you say to children? What do parents should be saying to their children now? Like when like you go shopping and all of a sudden this child is talking to a stranger, you know, saying, hello, hello. You know, do you ignore that child from saying hello, or do you respond to that child? It feels like it's dangerous because you don't know who. It's like doing photography. It's a thin line. It's a very thin line. You want to do photography of kids having fun in the park or playing sport, but if you want to do something like that as a, you know, whether if you want to, if you're in a, doing a, say like a photography competition of action where you see kids playing soccer or doing some kind of sport, but you would, in order for you to do pictures of that, you would have to be at such a greater distance in order to say you're not getting yourself in trouble. But if you want to do pictures, you've got to, because I've been there and done that when it comes to photography shooting, because I'm involved with the AIDS committee in here in Windsor to do photo shoots of people, and there's this waiver sign, signature that you have to waive application for allowed to people to be photographed. So it's a thin line, a very, very thin line.
Well, you know, I'm sure that Thomasine will agree with this, and Pamela, too. With the first part of what you said, like in the store, children want to be friendly. They, you know, they see someone, they think they, you know, they, the person looks nice or whatever, whatever goes through their little minds. Hi, how are you? Hey, how are you doing? Hi. And, but we have, I remember that happened to me in the store one time. There was this little girl, she's looking at me, and she said, oh, hi, I like your shoes. And I said, well, thank you. And her mother grabbed her and said, you don't talk to strangers. You don't do that. You don't do that. And the little girl's, of course, her face fell, okay? It fell. But you see, the mother's quite right. And I said to the lady, good for you, because that's who I am. I said, good for you, because you see, this is how many times with pedophiles or slash sex offenders, they like to groom people. That's what they do a lot of them, is they groom people. And if a child is showing interest in them, maybe a little girl liking my shoes, and pedophiles, they can be women too. Come on now. So, you know, it's good to teach your children the do's and the don'ts in life, I think. Thomasine, I want you to, you know, address this because it is a big thing. And with the photography that you're talking about, don't forget, where kids go, pedophiles go.
Yes.
And yes. And quite frankly, I ran across an article and knew this too, that when I lived in Phillipsburg, I've since moved. But they were asking for a lot of volunteers in the summertime to come on and, you know, play baseball with the kids and all this other stuff and getting them ready for fall teams and so forth with football. So I actually went over to the school and I said, hey, do you do background checks as much as you can do on these volunteers that you allow for them to volunteer with the children? And they said, no. I said, why not? And so I had to explain to them, which we were talking about, it's funny, not too long before that, right on the show, about how, you know, pedophiles, they hang out a lot at schools. They do that. So the one that got me in Staten Island, he was at my school. So, I mean, you know, I have a little personal thing going on with this. So anyway, the point is we have to teach children safety. We have to. And also, two adults have to. Yeah,
I agree with you because, you know, it's like I said that in that scripture, you know, that that Jesus says, James said in his scripture that caring for children is a need that pleases God. So, you know, parents have got to have that need to please their children in a way to, you know, keep their children safe. you know, and again, I'm a semi-professional photographer. I've been doing photography for 37 years, you know. I would never put myself into a situation of photographing people without getting permission or authority of consent that people are going to waive like a signature or waiving a signature for their pictures to be taken. I go to a camp once a year. There are a lot of children that, because they come with families, and where this camp that's for people that live with HIV, but when a camp for that, it's for those who are also affected by those who are infected with the illness. But when you get these kids, you're doing pictures, you know, there's people around in the campground taking pictures. So the warning comes out beforehand on the either the day of or the next day of the camp that, okay, if any kids are going to be having pictures taken, it's got to go through the CEO of the organization of the camp, or, you know, they've got to have some kind of a parental a signature by parents at the camp. If you want to take pictures of the kids doing what they're doing, and that's having fun,
right?
But when you look at the public, when you're out in the open public, that's a different ball game, because you don't have that consent, because you're in the world of your. I hope I'm not saying this incorrectly, but. I'd say if it's a pedophile, they're in their own world of their own, thinking, okay, I can do whatever I want. There's kids here, I can take pictures. Now, how do I go about it? So, you know, photography to me, you know, I'm very cautious. And it's a thin line, but, should there also be parental guidance or any some kind of authorization for signatures to be waived if you're going to take pictures of children having, whether it's having fun or doing things that's appropriate for a program that they're doing. There's another question that needs to be put down and asked.
One of the things we can do as parents is be aware. It is very important to know who is around your children on a daily basis at things like play dates or soccer practice and on special occasions such as neighborhood parties or family gatherings. Or like you said, you're at a camp. So everyone needs to keep their eyes open and keep track of where your child is at all times. I used to volunteer for a hospice camp for children who've lost significant others. We were told if a child falls down and skins the knee, we need to take another adult with us in the bathroom to address that child's knee. If it needs a Band-Aid or a Mercurochrome or washing off first, take another adult. That's why you go two by two.
Yes.
And you need to keep your eyes open. Everybody needs to keep their eyes open. And another thing I'd like to bring up is prepare them to react to the person that says, I'm going to do this, but we're going to keep it a secret. You tell your child there are no secrets. When anyone says, let's keep it a secret, you come and tell mommy and daddy. Or you come and tell the instructor or the teacher or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
There are no secrets. And especially you don't feel right about that touch. And they say, let's keep it a secret. No, we don't keep secrets.
That's right.
There are so
and
many
I think
things
that
we can help our children. Right. There's so many ways we can help our children.
I want to go to Pamela. That's right. Well, let me spit this out or I'll forget it. That's another part of parenting, you know, is the secret part. Because so often, how many times does a pedophile, male or female, have to keep it in a female in there, say, this will be our little secret, okay? This is our secret. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because so often that is, you know, spoken about. Pamela, is there something you want to say?
Well, yeah, I had talked to Thomasine earlier. She's a good friend of mine, and she had asked me to look up some things, you know, about the subject tonight that she was so heavy on her heart to talk about. You know, our children are precious, and it's like you said earlier, you know, one time, and, you know, they live with that for a lifetime. And people need to know that, however way we can get that out. But the one site that I was looking at was saying, you know, start children about two and a half to 3 years old. And when you add information about safe and unsafe touching, you compare the touching private parts to the same as unsafe touching, which is including hurtful actions such as hitting or kicking, okay? So there's a comparison there for them to see that, oh, yeah, I don't want to hit somebody, I don't want to kick somebody, or I don't want anybody hitting and kicking me, and the same goes for I don't want anybody touching me in places that I don't feel comfortable receiving touches, right? So you label those touches and you know, get the child to understand. So the one thing that, you know, people do to children is tickle them, right? So you teach the child that when they're getting tickled that they can say the word stop, okay? And that a teaching process would be, you told me to stop tickling you, so I'm going to stop to make you feel safe, okay? And so when someone stops touching you, they're supposed to listen to you because that is your body, all right? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, you should tell me. So that here's the parent telling them, look, you know, you're not supposed to get hit, you're not supposed to get kicked, and you're not supposed to be touched in an uncomfortable area, okay, mm-hmm. In your penis, your vagina, you know. And so so once they get that concept of that, children will begin to apply the education about touching to real-life situations. And so you can introduce the child to what to do if someone gives them an unsafe touch, such as, you know, going for their private part. And what the particular information I received through studying this, it says to teach them what to do, teach them three words: no, go, and tell. Okay, say no and then run away and then tell an adult. Simple as that. And that the parents can actually role play this, these three steps together with their child, and pretend, you know, tell the child, pretend like I'm a grown up or a big kid and I'm about to touch your private parts, and then reach toward them and then coach the child to use no, go, tell, you know, and have the practice telling you, children practice telling you about the unsafe touch, and then praise them for telling, and because telling is an important step in the process, and role play that someone is hurting the child with a hitting them with a stick or kicking them, and practice no go tell in that scenario. So, you know, it makes it seem just totally normal, you know.
Right.
It normalizes, you know, and
that's
normalize
right.
it and make it to where they get it, you know, because if they don't get it, you can talk about it all day long, but you're going to have to role play it to make sure they get it.
Exactly.
And, you know, do it in a structured fashion. Okay, we're going to do this every weekend, you know. or we're going to do this once a week or twice a week, you know, and make it a normal routine like sitting at the table having a family dinner, you know, just make it part of your lifestyle with your child. You want to protect your child at any cost. And, you know, to take time to do this is really loving your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as the child grows older, you continue to review this conversation so they can understand it even more. And, you know, then the child can start thinking for itself and reasons for itself. You know, I'm not going to get my situation. You know, I'm not going to put, you know, and you can teach the child, don't go alone with somebody somewhere. Don't be alone. Always have somebody with you. You understand, like a kid or another playmate or, you know, and be, you know, try not to get alone with people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so true. And that's particularly true with teenagers, too, you know. They want to go to the malls. Of course, no one can go anywhere right now. It's so terrible out there. But generally speaking, with teenagers, they want to, you know, hang out certain places, go to the malls, and they have to be taught. You know, a lot of times guys will come up to them, you know, say come up to girls they're hanging out and all this other stuff. And I think that children should be taught, first of all, that, you know, that when you get to the mall, okay, sometimes they're 17, if someone's 17, they're able to drive. So when you get to the mall, you call home, okay? Or I don't care if your mother's at work. I don't care, okay? You call and let them know that you've gotten at the mall. And, you know, let them know ahead of time that they're allowed to stay at the mall, so I'm just going to say 2 hours. That's it. Because a lot of things can happen at malls. A lot of things.
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, then as you're leaving the mall, you call also. You call your mother or so, whoever. Maybe there's somebody else home you can call. It doesn't have to be the mother. Whoever's not at work, whatever. And let them know, you know, your location. So this is why, you know, honestly, God, so many kids disappear. And it's really a frightening thing. Now, some of it has to do, you know, with the single moms, they get divorced or they're in the process of getting divorced, and then the significant other, you know, it takes the child. That can happen many times. We know this. But then there are those that are out there to kidnap your child, to take your child and put their kids on the streets and have them do all kinds of stuff. And they can even take them out of the country. You know, we covered all that. I ran two shows, in fact, about human trafficking, and then there was someone who came on and spoke about human trafficking. And, you know, this is something that happens very, very often. So that's why, Thomasine, I think it was you who had mentioned, you know, from the age approximately, say, around 2, and throughout high school years, because, you know, kids are at risk, period. And, you know, they're out there, you know, the pedophiles are out there. And the minute they see an opportunity, they don't care if the kid is white or black or yellow or green or orange or purple. I don't care about the color of the child or how, you know, they look for a certain type of kid, a kid who walks with their head down, a child who's alone, like you were just talking about, alone. Things like that, and they may watch that child a few times before they actually, you know, kidnap that child, which is the case was with me, for God's sake. He was coming to school and watching me, and, you know, he was, like, stalking me, I guess. So, you know, you have to teach your children a lot of things in life, but they will thank you when they get older because they will be smarter, they'll be safer. And it's as simple as that. You, if more people would, you know, use prevention and then the intervention and then, of course, if something unfortunately does happen, then we get into recovery, don't we? You know, you have to get your child help. And I was never gotten help to Thomasine. You know, I had to grow myself up. And Pamela, I don't think you got help either. And Peter, we were three people right here. And maybe yourself, I don't know. Maybe all of us. Maybe we're all in the same boat. But we didn't have adults you know, to direct us the proper way. We did not get help. And a lot of us had to grow ourselves up, and that's why many of us, not all of us, but many of us turned to alcohol and drugs and other things. A lot of kids that are in juvenile detention, they're there and they come from family backgrounds just like we do. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I used to steal my... go ahead.
A question on one
thing.
Go ahead.
I
want to ask. Now, I don't know. I'm sure you people, you guys are aware of like a TV series where parents are putting their young toddlers in these competitions, like tiaras and princes and tiaras. Doesn't that send the red flag of parents putting their kids with makeup and all that on these stage shows
yes.
One of those that is leaving that door open for predators? Wouldn't you agree?
I believe it does leave the door open, but what I would say is always, always keep your eye open for the people that are around your children. Always have someone else, another adult or several adults from the family as a support network who's going to be looking around to see who's around the children. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about whatever you're doing. You could be at a soccer game. You need to know the people that are around. Do they have children? If you see someone that does not have a child, why are they there? I'm old enough and big enough to go and talk to people who don't have children. Oh, hi. Are you here to see your nephew? Are you here to see your niece play? Why are you here in so many words? You don't come right out and say it like that, but if need be, you have to do so. Also, create a circle of protection for your children. And when I say create a circle, is have other people involved in, if you're going to see a show, have other parents go as chaperones. And I like the idea where when children get a certain age, they're teenagers, and they want to go to the movies. I have always suggested to my nieces and nephews, they go herd dating, that's what I call it, a herd of children go together and sit together. Don't go anywhere without two or three people with you or more. And when you get ready to leave, make sure everybody is there that came with you. That's the only way we're going to be able to protect our children. We have to have chaperones,
right.
And we have to, if they're going to go by themselves without parents or an adult, then let's do a herd dating, where a bunch of them are together, and you all do not leave until everybody is counted for.
That's right. But, you know, I want to get back to what I agree with you, and that's something that people have to cooperate, okay? What you just said is perfect, but they have to cooperate. Sometimes parents, you know, women are working a lot. Most women are working, right? And See, they shouldn't have burned their bras in the 70s. They shouldn't have done that. But, you know, but, oh, yeah, they wanted to be like the guys and go out and get the jobs and all that other stuff, and they all wanted all these things. And now with everything being so, there's so many electronics and games and all the things that the kids get into gaming, that's a whole different topic on itself, and it's something that should be covered. And I'm looking into that. And when I find that individual who can teach us more about the Internet, and I have that person's name, I'm going to turn it over to Pamela because she's so good at what she does. I want those people on the show to teach us about, you know, the Internet and how to speak to your children about it. But getting back to what Peter said, which we should talk about, because look at Jean Bonnet, that little beautiful, pretty little girl who disappeared so many years ago now. Yes, I don't like, we had a show on this years ago, I'm going to say five, maybe six, 7 years ago now, about the little princesses, okay? Then the mothers would have them all made up and put in pretty little dresses and all this makeup on them and wigs. And there were so many children, we found out later on, that really didn't want to be a part of this. They wanted to go out and play like normal kids, okay? They wanted to go out and do what little girls do. They wanted to go out and jump rope. They wanted to go out and play hide and seek. They wanted all this. But their lives were controlled by the parent. Okay, you can have maybe 15 minutes outside, 20 minutes over here, whatever. But for the rest of the time, you have to learn to sing. You have to sing your songs, you know, because a competition is coming up. And you have to learn to dance, and you have to learn to look with your eyes. And I know, Peter, what you're talking about. You have to look a certain way with your head and with your eyes and express yourself. Some of these children don't even look normal because they do look like little dolls, for God's sake. They don't look like children. They're being instructed by the parent how to behave, how to curtsy, how to do this, and how to do all that. And I do think, without a shadow of a doubt, because it was even spoken about on shows that I've seen on TV and programs, but the point is this, yes, I don't think it's a good thing for a child, Peter, to be put into that position, because I think you are actually... you can actually be endangering children. Does it happen all the time? No. But you are endangering a child. But even more important, you're taking away a part of their childhood because they're not allowed to get dirty. They're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed that. I think it's very bad for them. So that's my answer to you on that one.
Yeah,
I think it's bad.
I believe that too. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I do too. Mm-hmm. They look like little grown people.
I know.
And that is not good. You're opening up the door more or less for abusers or pedophiles, but you're also, what are you telling your child?
You have to be beautiful and you have to win.
Well, not only that, but what are you telling them? Because I hate to say this, but little Jean Bonnet looked very more mature than she really was.
Right. Oh, she, yeah, she
what
did.
I'm
she
saying?
Was, yeah,
she,
yeah.
She was a beautiful child, but
yeah, she looked
in the male mind, she did not look like a little girl.
No, she didn't.
She looked like she was a miniature adult.
It's so sad. It really is.
Yes.
And it's funny that he brought that up because we had a show on that years ago. And we had someone come on that, who was a survivor professional. And we were all going around and around and around about that one. Some thought it was okay. Some say that it's an extension of the mother, all right, because maybe that's what she wanted to be.
Yes.
And that's why they did that to the children. Well, I'm sorry, but when you get married and you have children, There's nothing wrong with looking pretty, okay, or looking as best as you can, whatever. But you don't take that and put that on your children, because it's dangerous. I believe that it can be very dangerous. And finally, at that end of that show, I think most people felt the same way, that you're putting them in harm's way. You can be, absolutely.
So one of the things I'd like to kind of kind of close with, we still have a lot of time, but I wanted to say, be approachable. The best protection you can give your child is a sense of safety and openness with you. If your child feels it is okay to talk about his body, feelings, and bad touches with you, he or she will be more likely to alert you of uncomfortable situations. If your children do confide problems to you, strive to maintain calmness, not be critical or non-judgmental. Listen compassionately to their concern. Work with them to get the help they need to resolve the problem. And if you find that your child has been inappropriately touched, as a parent, it is most important that you give them emotional support. In order to support your child, it is important to stay calm, listen, and reassure your child. Make sure your child is safe and gets help. Getting help means through the state of Maryland, there is no statute of limitation in Maryland. So you must go with your child and report this and get them some professional help. The reason why I say that is I have a good friend whose son is 25 years old right now, and he was taken to a babysitter who was much older than the little boy that I'm talking about. He sexually abused him, and he never told anybody, and now they're wondering why he's on drugs, and he finally told, but he needs help, and he doesn't want to get help because he's too embarrassed. He thinks people are going to think that he's gay.
And I agree. I was like that myself.
So we have to protect our children, and we have to feel worthy, show them that they're worthy enough for us to fight for them no matter what happens. Go to the police. If you can go to the police, they will take a report. I know for the state of Maryland, because I've done it. I was 50 years old reporting something that happened when I was 13, 14 years old. They will take a report. They will look into it. In my case, the person, they were afraid he had Alzheimer's and couldn't remember.
Jeez.
Because he's 80-some years old. But in this case, for this child, the person is only like 30-something. They can do a report, and they can do an investigation. And they can put that person on the sex offender list if they find that he has abused other people as well as this child, this person now. He's grown now. But just think how his whole life, in a certain sense, has been ruined because he told his parents and they didn't believe him. And now they're trying to help him, and it's almost too late because he's afraid to tell anyone of authority.
Yeah. That happens. It absolutely happens, you know.
Another person that can help normalize children understanding their body is the physician, their pediatrician. You know, because kids kind of look up to doctors, you know, unless they've been poked a lot with the needle, you know. I remember my child was in the hospital, and he didn't like white coats. My one pediatrician had to take that white coat off before he'd have any interaction with him. But pediatricians, the American Academy of Pediatrics describes the genital exam as a standard of care in all well child visits and a priority at 1 year in every age between 6 and 21.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'll tell you what, though. A lot of the pediatricians, and not just pediatricians, doctors in general, have to be educated, okay, as to what to look for, you know, with child abuse. And, Pamela, I remember I hand out cards a lot, so I had to go in for this procedure. I won't tell you what it was. I don't feel like talking about it. It was nasty. But anyway, these people have put me into this, I guess it was an MRI. Yeah, it was an MRI. I had just handed them cards, and you know, for our NASCA cards. And so anyway, they said, oh, I don't like talking about child abuse. I don't want to talk about child abuse. For God's sake, if you go to discipline your child today, I'll never forget this. If you go to discipline your child today, you're going to get in trouble. And when I was a kid, I got smacked. It didn't do me hard. You know, look where I am today. Look where I am today. Look what I'm doing. You right. See, it, again, it's the mentality a lot of times of society. And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, in the days like when we were younger, and even not that long ago, you know, because it would be generational. You know, well, I got whipped when I was a kid, and I'm okay, and on it goes. And they think that it's okay to discipline their children that way. It's not okay because it teaches children anger. And I know enough about that, okay? I had to get over it. Still have a little angry streak in me. But, you know, we have to learn that discipline our children the right way. And as far as the professionals are concerned, I'm speaking about doctors and the psychiatrist. Boy, my phone never stops. I'm not going to stop talking, though. Hold on. Oh, for heaven's sake. All those people that I'm speaking about, teachers, all the way down the list of anyone you can think of that are professionals who work with our children, they have to be taught more about child abuse. They have to be. It's just not a good thing at all. And they don't have enough education, a lot of them, about child abuse. And you know, how child abuse can stay with you for the rest of your life if you don't get help. You know, it's so important for people to understand that you have to get help. You have to get help. If your parents won't get it for you and didn't get it for you, go on your own, because we are going to be people who have all different kinds of problems, you know, if we don't get that help. And that's just the way it is. And that can be from alcohol to drug abuse, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, you name it. Usually children will start showing signs of that who haven't gotten help. By the time they're teenagers, they'll start cutting, things like that. Or they'll have problems with eating. Maybe they're eating too much or they're eating too little. You know, so, I mean, there's all different things with the teenagers. They'll be runaways. Things like that. With little children, there's actually more things that they display. They'll talk, maybe speaking words that they shouldn't know at their age. Okay, they shouldn't know these words. And that's a red flag right there. And there's so many red flags you can learn if you look on the internet, NASCA, NASCA.org, NASCA.org, and open up those red blocks. But a lot of times children who are being abused, and this I'm talking about 7-8-year-old boys especially, they might kill animals. Okay. I that was a new one for me. I didn't, when I learned all this stuff, I didn't picture that somehow. But you see, they're so filled with anger and hatred, and even a little fluffy pussycat, which I happen to love, or a pretty dog or whatever, they'll throw stones at it, or they'll do other things to it, you know, things like that. And a lot of times you'll see it on their face. You'll see it on their face, and the anger and the upset. Go ahead.
I saw a child take a doll baby and cut all the mm-hmm. hair off and all the eyelashes and cut the baby up. Now, mm-hmm. suppose that had been a live child, a live baby, and he was there alone with that child.
True.
All
might have been his
anger.
Well, it might have been his little brother or sister that was maybe being treated nice, you know, better than he or she, you know. I don't know the case, but so they'll take the doll baby, like you said, and take it out on them or on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'd like to, conclusion here, I'd like to just read this one statement. There are several measures you can take to help both you and your child prevent it from happening. Make a choice today to sit down with your child. Discussion. Remain open to their thoughts, questions, and concerns, and tell them that they should always speak up, ask questions, and keep on talking until someone listens. The key to prevention is knowledge. Talk to your kids today and ensure a safe tomorrow and a safe future for us, because the children are our future.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. That's something that Bill always says. He's, you know, our children are our future. If we don't treat our children right, okay, and we don't teach them properly, and they're out on the streets, and then they're doing this and they're doing that, those are the children of tomorrow, all right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why the prison system so often, many times, is so full, because they weren't brought up right as children. They were abused. They were neglected. So when we speak about physical, mental, emotional, sexual neglect, all those things, you know, can make a child, you know, go bad. I hate to put it that way. Become troubled, because that's what they are. They're troubled children. They were children that weren't taught. And many times that's generational, too.
Yeah.
Geez, I can't believe what time it is already. Boy, this show went fast. It really did. Am I seeing right? Let me put my glasses on. Yep. It says 9:28. Does everybody else have the same time? I don't know.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, you know, see, this is what I like on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Now, we're having terrible storms. It's going up the coast, and a lot of times we have even more callers that call in. But there's a lot of people listening on their computers, too, as well. And I like Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, to be educational nights, because that's what we're supposed to do, is educate the public. And if there were even 5 people out there that we were able to reach tonight, I'm happy. A lot of times we say 1. But 5, of course, would be better. That's the way I am. But anyway, I have to end the show. So thank you so much for everyone coming on. And for you people out there listening, I hope you learned something tonight. For God's sake, speak to your children. Teach your children. Teach them about boundaries, all right, and so that our children can be a good society for tomorrow. A lot of the children today are not good society for today, and we know that, and that's unfortunate. Okay, so I have to end the show. Thank you so much for coming on, Thomasine. It was a pleasure having you on, and I guess you'll be coming on Tuesdays once a month. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad. We're all happy to hear that. Okay, so good night.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. Thank you, and we had a good show, and everybody had a lot to say, and then again, tomorrow is Wednesday, so we'll have a guest on tomorrow. Okay, good night, and God bless.
Good night. God bless everyone. You. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye now.
Blog Talk Radio.